Hey, everybody. You know, Mark and I have over 20 years of experience as therapists and as addicts in long-term successful recovery. We know better than anyone what works and what doesn't to break out of porn and sex addiction, heal betrayal trauma, and reclaim your relationship.
And we've poured all of our personal and professional recovery and healing experience into a first-of-its-kind program for addicts, spouses, and couples. We call it Dare to Connect.
At least four times every week, we engage with you in real time, in the trenches, giving you the knowledge and the tools to take back your life and relationship.
Whatever else you've done on your journey for healing and recovery, you've never done anything like this.
You know, Mark and I, we've made all the mistakes, so you don't have to. Don't reinvent the wheel.
We all know tomorrow never comes. Look, don't wait one more day to change. Claim your free two-week trial today at daretoconnectnow.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Mark and Steve here with you. It is 2021.
Indeed it is.
And Steve and I were just laughing because we're trying to pep ourselves up, up the energy on the first Monday of the new year and another work week. And we're like, can we do this?
You can't be telling listeners secrets, man. You got to...
No, we're excited. We're excited to do this podcast with all of you, our first one in 2021. And we decided to kind of enter the realm of transparency a little bit about what happened over the holidays for us. And we're figuring that maybe you had some similar experiences over the holidays. And we're going to talk a little bit about successes during the holidays. And we tried to decide how to word this next part. Areas that need improvement, shall we say.
Oh, there's no areas that need improvement. It was all perfect. Great.
It was all perfect. It was the perfect holiday.
Oh, yeah. You, the listener, you guys seem to really enjoy the feedback we get is that you guys appreciate the realism. So we'll give you some. It was an interesting break. Mark and I compared notes a little bit beforehand. I guess I'll throw myself on the chopping block first. There were some really good parts to the holidays for me. Some really good experiences and some really nice things. There was also a lot of hard that ended up happening. And much of it was out of my control. Some of it I probably made worse by the way that I responded to some of it, at least internally, if nothing else. As I look back, I mean, without going into specific situations, I had a lot of, there were some hard conversations with some people that I'm close to. There were some difficult, painful experiences that and situations that came up. And even though I looking back, I don't know that I can own really any part of the actions that were taken themselves or the things that were said, I definitely absolutely can and need to take accountability for not being as, not using my tools as well, or probably as quickly as I should say, as I would recommend to each of you or to a client. We're going to kind of get into some of those thinking errors a little bit more here in a bit, but, definitely got caught up in some thinking errors and some responses to those thinking errors that were, I know this is going to shock all of you, but I can be reactive if I'm not careful to things. So a couple of situations that I think I made worse. And looking back, I've learned some things, and I know Mark has as well. And I think that's the hope today, is that we're going to be able to maybe connect a little bit with you. If you didn't have the perfect ideal holiday for any variety of reasons, but also to be able to just look at, you know, how do we take hard experiences, or how do we take experiences that aren't always ideal, and how can we process them better? How can we learn from them? How can we grow from them? What can we do differently?
Yeah. I appreciate you expressing that. My challenges were, of course, in the thinking errors category, like yours, kind of some reactiveness. Mine were a little bit different. So I had some time off during the holidays. And when I'm not really focused and working with clients and working on training and have all of this stuff lined up for me to be engaged with, if I've got downtime for me is some of my most dangerous time.
Yeah.
And what had happened to be over the holidays was suddenly all this time to pay more attention to what's been going on in politics and what's happening with COVID and what, and you know me, and those who know me, one of the things that I put at the very tippy top of my list of pet peeves is just tell me the truth.
Yes.
I don't care how hard it is, how outrageous it is, or whatever it is, but just don't manipulate me or beat around the bush or straight out deceive me, because then I'm really going to start to get ripped.
Yeah.
And I just got pulled into all of that during the holidays, where I swear I was angry on a daily basis.
Yeah.
From all the stuff going on out there, and just all the infighting and the contradictions and the controversies and the, you know, just so much of it bombarding, you know, through the media and all, and different family members, you know, arguing with each other about it. And I found that I was really becoming reactive to that, where I was way more angry over the holidays than you should be during the holidays, right?
Yes.
The holy days, the, you know, the days of celebration and peace and good tidings and goodwill. And here's Mark being angry. And so I've had to step back from that and go, that was kind of interesting. Do you want to continue in this anger and reactiveness to all the things going on in your community, state, country, and world? Or do you want to step back and start to make some changes? So that's where I've kind of been.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I love that you bring up the truth piece, because some of that hits on some of the dynamics that happened with people close to me over the holidays. I'm also in that same camp. I think there are a few things for me that are more triggering, and especially in close relationships with you know, for me, than that transparency, that honesty piece. Mm-hmm. We push it so much. And I think the reason why I'm probably so big on it is because I lived, and maybe you can relate to this too, I lived a lack of truth forever. Like, that was just my kind of life for recovery. It was, you know, the outer veneer with the inner sick person that we talk about often. And I think now that I'd like to think I've come in many ways full circle from that. Now I just find that obviously nobody likes bad news or hard things to hear, but like you, I mean, when vulnerability and truthfulness go out of the equation, it's very hard for anger, resentment, definitely, I think, defenses, if nothing else, right, to set in.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think the big thing for me is why I prize that so much, as I do. I look back on all the decades, really, that I wasn't fully truthful and authentic and transparent. I engaged in a lot of deception and manipulation and secrecy and, you know, avoiding the truth at all costs because it was too hard, too painful, too embarrassing, too scary, too whatever.
Yeah.
And I just don't ever want to go back there. And it's funny, because as you step back now and you watch others engage in those behaviors that used to be such a part of our lives, there's a part of you that you just want to just scream out and say, you know, wake up.
Sure.
That approach is not going to get you where you think it's taking you.
Yeah.
And we see that, you know, in some ways the country falling apart and so many things, you know, in chaos. And it's because of this lack of authenticity. It's because of this defaulting to manipulation and deception and all of these tactics and strategies that we see so much instead of just the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I know I'm kind of hypersensitive to that because, you know, my own ghost comes back to haunt me and say, yeah, you used to do that. Remember?
For sure. Yeah. Sometimes you're almost kind of looking in a mirror. You know?
I know, seriously. Like, oh,
well, and that brings up an interesting point because it is, so I took a personality test a while ago. You know, those color tests that they do?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like red, blue,
the color code.
White. Yeah. The color code.
Yeah.
It's pretty popular. You know, red generally stands for like leadership and drive and being driven and and, you know, like nose to the grindstone.
Needing to be in charge.
Yeah, yep. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Blue is more tied to like passion and emotionality.
Yep. Intimacy. So human relationships are the absolute critical. Yeah.
The last time I took that test, and then white is passivity. And then peace. Yellow is kind of like recreation, fun, take it easy. Right.
Yep. Yep.
Kind of life. When I last took that test, and it has been a while. I was, this is not going to come to a shock to anybody. I was, 40 something. I can't remember. 40 something percent red, whatever that was. It was like 6 points below that was blue. So like 40%. And then the other remaining like 15% were divided up between the white and the yellow.
Right. Right.
So I lead out. And I tell people where to go, and then I immediately feel bad for it 5 minutes after the fact.
Yeah, exactly.
And unfortunately, that character defect plays well with trauma, right? And I know a lot of us have been through and experienced trauma. Both Mark and I, we talked about that a few weeks back. I find that some of those experiences over the holidays, they did hit a little bit on trauma, be it those involved, be it the time of year, the type of gathering, right? Those kinds of things, I think, all played a role. And when you get, we're going to talk a little bit about this, you know, the survival brain. We've hit on it before. When you get, the survival brain is so good for so many things. Intimacy is never been, nor will it ever be one of them.
Not one of them.
Ever. Right?
Yeah. It's so true. Now, as you and I talk about, you know, our holiday experiences and not having to be everything we wanted, you know, wanted them to be from a personal standpoint of just thinking errors and different things we fell into. You know, you brought up, Steve, before we started recording, just this need for self-compassion. And I think as we start out talking with our listeners, it's awesome to look back at places where we fell down and we were not all that we wanted to be during the holidays, but there is a real need for self-compassion because as we look at those experiences, really what matters most is that they're opportunities to learn. What can I learn? How can I look back on those experiences, right? We like to say when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yes.
And those experiences where we, you know, my being angry too much and, you know, you with what you described, those are opportunities to really learn some things about ourselves, those parts of our personalities, those places inside of us that still need some attention.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you know, you could say still need some tender, loving care, right?
Yeah.
Not, you know, coming down on yourself and self-flogging and beating yourself to a pulp, but, oh, isn't that interesting? Look at that part right there that need some extra attention from me.
Yeah.
I think it's so important as we go forward in 2021 to come at it from that standpoint, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, and that, you know, I think it's a natural thing to struggle with self-compassion no matter who you are. Because I remember, you know, I look back on my life, and I know many listeners can probably relate to this. I think all of us at times, more than we would like to admit, struggle with that idea of, you know, I could have, or I should have blanked better because I'm blank, right?
Mm-hmm.
I should have done better with my child because I'm the parent, right? I'm the parent in the situation. I should have been kinder with my spouse because that's what I signed up to do, right? I should be, in my case, one of my old, thankfully this doesn't come up much these days, but one of those old demons for me of, when early recovery was, I'm a therapist, I should know better.
Yeah, for sure.
right? Yep. Like I should know better. I should. And so I think all of us oftentimes will kind of hold ourselves up to these goalposts in maybe less than healthy ways. Mm-hmm. And it is important to note that self-compassion, you know, it definitely cannot be used as justification to abscond responsibility. Because we do need to change. We do need to grow. We do need to develop. But without that self-compassion piece, I think most of us are, best case, we're not going to see the situation really accurately. But worst case, we're going to give into that shame place. And shame, among so many other things, right, is the ultimate stopper of progress, right? As we often talk about, shame is, the more I give into shame, the more I come to believe that I'm just a problem. Yeah, or a failure, yeah, or a shortcoming. And it's not something that can be changed. It's just an inherent defect.
Yeah. And as we talk about self-compassion, you know, neither one of those extremes is self-compassion. It isn't self-compassionate to go into self-flogging and self-hatred and shame, but neither is it self-compassionate to go into a place of apathy and excuse making, mm-hmm, because neither one of those are showing yourself compassion. You know, so the real place of that is to come at this learning process. What can I learn? How can I take a look at different parts of myself and start making some adjustments and moving forward? You know, and I wanted to take just a quick second and talk about one of the things that I think is so important for this year, is this being realistic about what the process of change really takes.
Yeah, yeah.
So easy to come into the new year with this sense of newness and novelty and excitement, you know, the racehorse out of the gate. Yeah. And we charge out. We talked a lot about that in our podcast last week, but I did a training for my clients just this last Friday, where I talked about what I call the 5 minute system, right? Can you give 5 minutes a day this year in 2021 to bring about the personal changes that you desire most? Can you give just 5 minutes? And that's, as we look at that, it might sound ridiculous, but that's really coming at this place of what is realistic if we're going to have lasting change. Yeah. And what's realistic is making sure that we put ourselves into a daily system, a routine, where I just chip away at it every day, just a little tiny bit at a time. And what I asked my clients to do in this training was, you know, choose one area where you want to make some significant personal change, write down why you want it, you know, specifics, and very importantly, what's going to get in your way? What are the obstacles that will derail you? And what are the tools that you're going to use to come through those obstacles? That's it. You write all that down. And here's the 5 minutes. 5 minutes every day. I prefer the morning. You basically just take 5 minutes of deep breathing and meditation to go over what you've written.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And it's that 5 minutes of just breathing and meditating on what you set up for yourself at the beginning of the year, that 5 minute reminder each day makes all the difference.
Yeah.
Because what happens, right? Out of sight, out of mind, you get into, you know, the end of January, mid February. And it's like you never wrote these things down. It's like they don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Because we don't take the time to get into the system of being mindful about what it is that we desire to change. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw out that 5 minute system is just so powerful. If there's nothing else you do, do that.
Yeah, I agree. And I know we did touch on that a little bit a few weeks back, but you know, change, neurobiological change is hard and it's difficult and it's hard to set new patterns and new ways of doing things. And I know that, you know, for me and I'd say probably the majority of the clients that I work with, it's very easy to get overwhelmed, especially when you're doing goals around really big things. Mm-hmm. And when I say big, I don't necessarily mean big, but when it's addressing something that's been a part of you for a long time, right? Like addiction or like resentment or like anger or like flying off the handle at people. I have not done any of those, but you know, any of those, just pulling them randomly out of the air. They have nothing to do with me. You know, taking five, you know, applying that 5 minutes a day consistently over time will bring about, and I've seen it bring about for me and for clients, far more change than trying to cram change, quote unquote, right? like on one day of the week or right before your therapy session, because your therapist is going to kick your butt if you didn't do your stuff.
Exactly.
Or, you know, whatever, you'll get something from it, but you won't get near the same. So I love that. I think that, yeah, I mean, well, and it's easy for most of us to dismiss that, right? And just say, oh, geez, 5 minutes. Like, what's that going to do? That's 5 minutes is a lot of time added up over time.
It is.
You know,
every day for a year.
Yeah. Everybody who's listening, take 2 seconds and just think about it honestly. Now, some of our listeners are probably pretty good with self-care, but if we're really honest, think about how much quality self-care you do in a given week. If you were to increase that by 30 minutes, how much of an increase would that be? You know, 50%?
Yeah. Yeah.
For some of us, maybe like 90%, right? And so it is huge. I love it. I think it's great.
Yeah, make a big difference. Hey, everybody, Mark and Steve here. Are you looking to take your recovery and your marriage to the next level?
We work with individuals and couples one-on-one.
With both in-person and online therapy options, you have access to the experts anytime, anywhere.
To learn more, visit us at pbsepodcast.com.
The other thing Steve and I were talking about, you know, we all came out of 2020 feeling like we should all have this t-shirt, every single citizen of the world that says, I survived 2020.
That isn't that the truth.
And while that's true, the challenge with it is I've been talking with a lot of people, family and friends and clients. Some of them have real hopes for 2021 that it's going to be entirely different, right? Oh,
yeah.
We made it through 2020. We're going to move forward now. Life's going to be normal, better, healthy, amazing. And there's a real danger in that, because I think we all sort of realize, or maybe there's a little voice in the back of our heads that's saying, you know, 2021 could possibly in some ways maybe even be more intense than last year was. And one of the things we're all going to face is this whole concept of the survival brain, right? The fight, flight, or freeze part of us. And we're going to be very easily pulled in this year to a lot of emotional reaction, a lot of reactiveness to what's going on around us.
Yeah.
And a big part as we all head into this new year is how do we find a place of peace and balance among all this craziness that's going on around us?
Yeah.
That's going to be a huge part of all of us, not just surviving this year, but I'm going to say thriving.
Yeah.
Because it is possible. But, you know, maybe we could talk for just a couple of minutes about how to navigate that, all of that emotionality that's going to absolutely bombard us this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great direction to go. I mean, these skills are things that we have touched on in some respect or form over time, over our episodes. And they are skills that most of us use to some degree on a fairly consistent basis. But I completely agree with Mark that, you know, if 2021 taught me anything, is that everybody ought to be in a 12-step program.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, I don't know if we need to form a new 12-step fellowship around like Politics Anonymous or I don't know.
Yeah,
whatever.
Sure.
COVID Anonymous, Covenon. I don't know.
Covenon.
We
got
like,
go.
Covenon. You know, we like we there are these really big things that are going on in the world right now for many of us that all impact all of us, albeit in different ways, some ways financially, emotionally, spiritually, maybe all the above. And dealing with and working through those in a successful way that allows for, like you said, thriving and not just surviving is huge. I think I shared this once upon a time on this podcast, but my wife shared with me once in the 12-step fellowship she attends. They don't say this in my fellowship, and I wish we did, because it's a great statement. Today, acceptance is the answer to all of my problems.
Yeah.
And is it the answer? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's more to it than that, but is it a answer, or at least part of the answer? I'd probably say yeah, right? Because before I can really deal with anything, there has to be an honest acceptance of what is. You can't deal with a problem or an issue or an obstacle or a challenge unless you honor what it is,
mm-hmm.
You know, and acknowledge it for what it really is. And there are a couple of pieces to even doing that. When I think about acceptance, The first thing that comes to mind for me as a recovering codependent is how can I accurately break down which parts of this thing do I need to own or can I own, and which parts can I not? Because my brain loves to devote emotional, spiritual, mental energy historically to the stuff that I can't do a, well, keep it clean for the kids listening, do a thing about, right? I can't do, my brain is kind of like, it's almost naturally geared to go there for some, and I think in some ways it's actually an escape. That's a whole other topic for another day, but that's kind of where my brain wants to go. And so I think acceptance means not just, hey, I need to acknowledge what is, I need to acknowledge my level of control with it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like what can I do about this? Like with COVID, there are things that I can do to help manage how that impacts my business, my practice, my family, my own health. But there's also a huge part of it that I can't control, right? And being able to acknowledge and own those pieces I can, while learning to surrender, there's the next concept, we're bringing it in, right? The pieces that I can't, in my book, is like totally critical. So that's, that'd be my starting point with it.
Yeah. And it, you know, and it's why, for example, those 5 minutes each day of quietness, meditation, and mindfulness is so critical, because one of the key parts of being able to manage these emotions and not become a victim or so reactive in what's coming this year is the ability to become what we call an impartial observer in your own life. You know, can I stand back? Can I pause and breathe and just step back outside myself, so to speak, to just kind of look at what's going on, to just feel what I'm feeling, to observe it, watch it, and instead of being immediately sucked into it. And that's a really important skill to learn in order to go forward, is this, you know, we call it mindfulness, practicing being an impartial observer. And I think it's not only important for us as individuals to do that, but what we're going to find this year, and you know from last year, all of us listening in, this emotional reactivity and this chaos and all this stuff going on has a big impact on our relationships.
Yes.
So how do we, not only managing our own emotions, but how do we also do that in a way that it doesn't disrupt or derail our most important relationships?
Yeah.
We're going to be faced with that this year. Right? Getting sucked into all of it. And then immediately it creates this big upheaval with the people that we care about.
Well, as much as I would love to just say that I'm not an expert in how this can derail, I would be fibbing. Because I kind of, as I indicated at the beginning of this, I mean, I look back just on, you know, the last couple of weeks that I've been off. Although there are situations and things that happen I can't and shouldn't own. There is absolutely ownership that needs to happen with the way I responded.
Yes, right? Always.
I find more and more as I slowly, very slowly, some would argue, get wiser, that it needing an immediate response to most situations is more the exception than the rule.
Mm.
But I am conditioned, thank you, addiction, for reactivity.
Yes.
Right? I want to immediately respond. I want to immediately jump back in and challenge another person's position or challenge another person's thinking or whatever. And it's not that that's a bad thing in and of itself, doing those things, because those are healthy. But oftentimes, one of my character flaws, if I'm not being really careful, is to do that in a way that isn't always constructive. And sometimes, as was the case over the last couple of weeks with some people close to me, actually made the situation in some ways worse, right? Took an awkward or a difficult or a tough or an uncomfortable situation and amplified it.
Yep.
At least for myself, if for nobody else, right?
No, and I'm not an amplifier. I know nothing about that.
I'm just glad we're talking about all of these things today that neither one of us have ever struggled with. It's a miracle.
No, as you talk about that, one of the phrases that came to my mind was, their peace in the pause, right? The ability when you're feeling very reactive and to step back and pause. And this is one of the reasons why I love the surrender process. The surrender process for me in those moments where either I'm being triggered by what's going on and I'm feeling emotionally reactive inside myself, or it involves another person. this ability to stop and step back and just say, you know what? I'm going to surrender that reaction. I'm going to just put that on, I like to call it the altar, right? I'm going to sacrifice that as something I really, really want to do right now, but I'm going to give it away. I like personally like to give it to God or give it to Jesus in my Christian faith. But Lord, I'm going to give this over to you. I'm going to put it on pause. Here you go. It's off the table. And then I ask, now, what do I need most in this moment that would be the most healthy and the most connecting? And if I can be quiet for just a minute, invariably something always comes into my mind. It's really uncanny how that works. Something will come. Just a little impression, a little thought, a little nudge. And then if I'll follow through with that, the outcome is radically different than the one I was headed to with my reactivity.
Yeah.
Right. And if there was one thing I could recommend for this year that's upon us, it is that process of pausing and surrendering, you know, and tapping into your higher power to give you some information about what could I do in this moment that would be better.
Yeah. No, I love that. As you were talking about that, that pause quote, I have a colleague who oftentimes talks about simply being, is what he calls it.
Simply being. Yeah.
Simply being. Mm. And the fact that when I hear that, it, despite my being a therapist and all the other stuff I might or might not be, the fact that it rubs me wrong right out the gate tells me I have more work to do around it.
Right. You're like, what is this touchy-feely nonsense?
Yeah. There's a guttural instinct. I can feel it right as we're talking about it. It's just like bull crap.
I know, right. What am I? Am I a hippie? What is this?
Yeah, exactly. But the reality is again, most situations don't require an immediate, there are times where that happens, right? There are times where there's an immediate threat that has to be dealt with, be it physically or whatever. And that is what our survival brain is for. But I can't speak for anybody else, but my survival brain, if I'm not careful, can easily just start running the show.
Yeah.
And it goes from being the survival brain to just being the everyday brain. It's just how I operate.
Or in my case, the dictator brain, the dominator brain.
Yes, absolutely. And so just being able to simply, like my colleague said, learning how to just simply be with something, right? Mm-hmm. Just enter the metaphorical room or the metaphorical space with it and don't do anything with it, right? Addicts inherently really struggle with this. I oftentimes will compare a guy and his addiction as two separate things. And we'll be talking about how to deal with it. And I will tell him oftentimes, for years, you've probably oscillated in a relationship with your addiction, sitting on a couch with it from trying to kick the crap out of it, right? Shame it, belittle it, curb stomp it. And then oscillating the other side of making out with it.
Yes.
Right? And what really, when it comes to developing healthy sexuality, breaking out of toxic sexuality, one of the main skills with that is doing what we're talking about. It's learning to sit on the couch with that side of yourself and not do anything with it.
Not do anything.
Learn to develop a higher level dialogue, not to react to it or react with it, but to methodically, deliberately engage with it.
Right.
And same concept with these other things, right? Because I think we all look at like COVID and the financial implications and everything. We're just like, something must be done, you know, and we just, and something should absolutely be done and must be done. But how much of that energy is one expending into areas of that problem, for example, if we just use that as an example, that aren't going to be helpful?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I can hate any given politician, right? To the nth degree and disagree with however much I want with what he or she do or don't do. But at the end of the day, unless that energy is going towards some sort of change on some level, it's just expended energy that really should be going to things that I really value in my life.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
I should be addressing, engaging with in a healthy way, because the problem is with these other outside stressors, guys, especially you coupleships who are listening, and you can probably relate to this, is when we allow these other externals that we can't do anything about, when we allow our emotional energy to be taken, I would just say stolen by those things, then we end up with nothing left to offer the people and the things that really actually matter to us.
Yeah, it's been used up elsewhere, right?
Yeah, that we can actually change or grow or develop.
Well, and I love that you said that, because as we finish up on this, you know, people ask, well, what can we do in our coupleship? What should we be paying attention to this year? And for me, the more chaotic everything gets around us, the more unpredictable, the more shocking, the more fearful, the more whatever, all of that external chaos says to us in our coupleship, that means that we have to be more stable, more consistent, more systematic in the things that we're doing as a couple every day. So we don't dare miss our daily emotional check-in. We make sure that we're engaging in couples prayer. We're having our date nights. We're having all of these consistent couple things in a world descending into chaos. That stability is more critical than ever. And so if you're looking for a place to focus on this year as a couple, it is with the consistent daily simple things that you do as a couple. Don't let yourselves be distracted and pulled away from those because you're caught up in the world. Those no matter what.
Absolutely. Yep. The basics will see you through. I say that in my office a lot, you know, when in doubt, go back to the basics, right? Or ask yourself some of the following questions and others that you've learned from podcasts or therapy or other things that you've been doing for in your recovery work, right? You know, ask yourself, is this something that I can change? What can actually be done about it versus what can't be, right? Where does the responsibility lie with this, and where doesn't it? Am I putting the things in my life emotionally, spiritually, physically first that really are first for me, if that makes sense? Am I allowing my priorities to get skewed, right? Is what I am doing in one area of my life coming at a cost of an area that's more important? Because if I rob myself of me, then I have no me left to give anyone else, and everyone loses.
Great point.
Including myself.
And that's really our assignment to all of you is what we just talked about, is just taking, stepping back, looking at those basics, how to make sure that you're consistent in the routines for you individually and for you as a couple, and stay with them. And that's what will get you through.
Absolutely. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We're excited for the new year. Happy 2021. We look forward to being with you each week and continuing on with this podcast. We're grateful that it helps many of you, and continue to pray and hope that it'll help more. And we appreciate you coming and being a part of our audience. So thank you. And the best of wishes for starting the new year off right.
And no matter what 2021 brings, we can do this.
Yes. Yes, we can.
That's all for today. Thanks for joining us. And remember, the opposite of addiction isn't sobriety, it's connection. Together, we can do the impossible.
To learn more about Mark and Steve and to listen to more podcast episodes, visit us at pbscpodcast.com. Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.